On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello. FM News Talk time, 11:06. Current temperature, 74 degrees in Reno. And perfect. As I say, great day for a radio show. I'm John Potter, and I love to hear the news on the radio like we just heard. I like to watch the news. I love to read the news. It has always fascinated me. I consider myself blessed in these 50 plus years to be able to work off and on in the news business. And watching network news is something that we try to do at home every night. And I recognize that the evening network news on TV is something of a dinosaur and probably headed toward near-term extinction. But you know, while the brontosauruses are still walking the earth, we like to catch it now and then. During my 20 years at Channel 2 on CBS, when I started there, it was Dan Rather, then Bob Schieffer, then Katie Couric, and then Scott Pelley. Yes, doing our network news. And I thought he did a good job. He's got that look. He looks like a TV man. He sounds like a TV man. I never sounded like a TV man. I met Mr. Pelley once when I was working for CBS in Boston. And my highlight there at that job was chatting with Walter Cronkite in the hallways. This was 1996, 97. Walter was still doing some things, you know, some special correspondent stories and some space launches. And CBS gave Walter an office at our Boston newsroom because he lived right nearby in Martha's Vineyard. I have some good stories about Walter Cronkite, but I met Scott Pelley there, and this was when they promoted him to chief White House correspondent. And he came by our building to tape an interview and some promos about him being the White House reporter. And he came in, and he was real nice, very gentlemanly, and well, it's so nice to meet you, John. And I said, hey, Mr. Pelley, we're all looking forward to you being on each night now on the CBS Evening News. Well, that's very kind of you, John. Thank you. And I told him about my friend Scott, who was so impressed that there was another Scott who was going to be on the network news. And I said to Mr. Pelley, that my friend Scott watches him just because there's no other reporter whose name is Scott. And Mr. Pelley goes, well, you tell young Scott I send my very best. Anyway, he spent the last handful of years over at 60 Minutes, and I guess I haven't watched that in a long time, and that's okay, you know. So CBS was bought by somebody who was bought by somebody, and recently there have been some changes going on. One thing they did was kill off the CBS radio news. You probably didn't even know that, that it's gone, because I don't think there's been a Reno radio station that had the CBS radio news. I don't think ever. Well, Craig would know, right? Craig?
Nothing comes to mind.
That is weird, because everywhere else I went to, there was the CBS radio. Well, anyway, it's gone. I haven't heard it for like 25 years now. But the most recent buyers of the network came in, and they said, you know, why do we do this radio news crap? It loses money. And so 2 or 3 weeks ago, CBS Radio News, which was 100 years old, the network pulled the plug on it. And this did not please some, including Scott Pelley, and there's this new lady who's in charge of CBS News, and Scott Pelley was not impressed with her, and she did some reorganizing on 60 Minutes. A couple of correspondents got let go. I would tell you their names, but I've never heard of them. And there was this meeting 2 weeks ago or last week, and this new executive, he comes in to say hi, and Scott Pelley goes off on him, saying that the lady who runs the whole thing is not qualified, and this guy who just got hired, he has very narrow qualifications, and you guys are killing 60 Minutes, and that this is all very bad. It's very, very bad. And, you know, he's just reading this guy who's just starting the job, the Riot Act. And just let me offer this insight. At one point in the early 80s, I worked for the largest television station company in America. In Salt Lake City, I worked for the largest radio company in America. And the point is, I've seen a lot of changes. You see the new people come in, and some of them are full of themselves. But very early on, I was taught a very useful lesson. And the lesson was, you need this job, jackass. Keep your mouth shut. And so I kept my mouth shut. And when new bosses came in with their new way of doing things, I listened politely. And if what they said wasn't absolutely freaking insane, I tried to apply it. And sometimes it would work, and sometimes it would not. And I could tell you a lot of things that were stupid and did not work. Oh, okay, I'll give an example. When I was doing the Channel 2 Morning News, it was somebody's brilliant idea to do this moment of Zen, so to where we were all supposed to just shut up and be quiet while there were nature pictures on the screen with this new age music. And I guess the thought behind that was, oh my God, the world is so terrible, isn't it, that we have to calm people down. What BS that was. But I suffered through things like that. And I kept my mouth shut, and I kept my job. Well, I try to keep my job. Sometimes it just doesn't. When the new boss comes in, he doesn't like you, you're out the door. Anyway, I would try to apply things that they suggested, and sometimes it would work, sometimes it would not. But people coming in, they're starting a new job. They're starting a new responsibility, and they need support. And to me, it's always been, I've got my job. I hope you'll support me doing it. And you've got your job, and you can count on me supporting you while you do it. They are people just trying to do a job, and you're a person trying to do a job. And usually that works out very well. Mr. Pelley apparently has not learned that, and that has ruined his career. You and I are smarter than that. You're the boss. I'm the employee. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to take what you say seriously. And I think that if we all do that, things tend to work out. And so to end this story, Scott Pelley was fired by CBS News. And I'm an admirer of his work, but he was being a dick, and he was out of line. He had it coming. I knew he was a commie lib, but he did his job well. But the deal is that his company got new owners, and he fought the good fight, and he has walked out the door with his head on the platter. And I understand the impulse that when change comes, you want to push back. And one thing we sometimes forget is the new owner, the new boss, or whoever comes through, that also is a human being over there. Granted, one of maybe suspect character, but that is a new human being over there who probably starting a new responsibility. And even if they come in and they say, okay, well, here's how it's going to be, well, they're bringing their perspective. And without that defensive chip on your shoulder, I think, okay, how can I learn from this? Is there something in here that can make what we do better? And don't tell the corporate folks this, but more often than not, you can find something if you are humble enough and patient enough that is better. And so I've had a bunch of different bosses. The boss I had before this job was torturous, but there have been others who for years on end have been wonderful blessings, and it's paid off for me in my entire 50 year plus career. I've only been fired twice. Scott Pelley acted the fool, and that ego crap is going to get you fired. Now, the 60 Minute Show, the notion now seems to be that somehow some grand institution of America is being threatened. Well, first of all, the company and the two big bosses said 60 Minutes is going forward just fine. But somehow, because certain dinosaurs are not going to be on there anymore, all the world is thinking that the First Amendment has died, and its last death was with this departure of Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes. And inherent in this is this belief that somehow 60 Minutes is this massive trusted institution, that it is the the paragon of journalism of the United States of America. Well, ratings let you know how broadly used is this product. And 60 Minutes usually has 2.7% of the American population watching it, which tells me that 97% of Americans don't have anything to do with 60 Minutes. Kathy and I have not watched it at our house in years. Now, there are some who are like, oh, well, the hard-hitting interviews, John. Well, I know that 60 Minutes tells me in their ads that they have these hard-hitting interviews, but I don't recall, honestly, any of those. The program barely scratches the surface of America's consciousness, and yes, in the small little world of people who are in that business, maybe 60 Minutes is a big deal to them. But to Joe and Betty America, people like you and me, we don't give a rosy red rat's patoot. And I hate these influencers and video creator people, but those little nut jobs who post things on phones, they have far larger audiences than 60 Minutes. Your TikTok cousin and your Instagram uncle, many of them have larger audiences than 60 Minutes. So if it's okay, I'm not going to be up tonight sobbing into my pillow out of sorrow that Scott Pelley has departed 60 Minutes. Okay, killed enough time there. I'm John Potter, live and local. Phone lines open or text 884-9910. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:19.
Is FM Talk.
There is
FM News Talk time 11:22. Just going through the text. Oh my goodness. Let's see here. Oh boy, what did I got to read one here that I thought was made me laugh here. I'll tell you again. I'm wearing my wife's shirt. You know, at my age, I don't care what people think anymore. I'm not a cross dresser, but we're the same size, and this is a beautiful shirt. I wish you could see it. Anyway, text here reading, men's and women's shirts have the buttons on the opposite sides. I believe that's to make it easier, John, for us to undress each other without being confused. If you think about it, you know how to unbutton your own shirt, and if you're reaching across to somebody else, it seems the same because the buttons are reversed. You know, that makes absolute sense. I can think of no other reason why the buttons are reversed on the side of the men's and women's shirts. So thank you to that person who wrote that. I know you wrote me several times, and I'm just getting through the text, so I'll get to them, my friend. News from Carson City. It's not good news. Carson City is losing a great restaurant. Garibaldi's posted on their Facebook, after 33 incredible years, Garibaldi's Italian Kitchen is closing its doors. An unforgettable era in local dining is coming to an end. You know, that post is not exaggerating things at all. It really was a Carson City mainstay. Anyway, the post says, after serving our community since 1993, Mark Claypool, and I think we had Mark on our show here, has made the heartfelt decision to hang up his apron and step into a well-deserved retirement. Garibaldi's will permanently close our doors. It's going to be next Saturday. They close the doors to Garibaldi's. We have had Garibaldi's on this show, and we will lose a definite highlight in downtown Carson City. We have lost so many great. Why is it we're losing all the Italian restaurants in Carson City? Italian restaurants downtown before Garibaldi's closed. We had Biscotti's. We had Biscotti's. Pasta pizza, long gone. And I thought that was super popular. There was even, they opened up another location. It was so popular. Biscotti's. I miss Biscotti's. There was Silvana's Italian cuisine, a couple of blocks north of William, East William, gone on Carson. We lost Angelina's in the Carson Nugget. I liked Angelina's. It was in the, I used to go to the Nugget in the 70s and early 80s, and that room that Angelina's was in was the steakhouse. And casino steakhouses back then had these like red velvet padded walls and fancy walnut furniture and dark lighting. And I guess I liked Angelina so much because it was in the same place that I used to enjoy so many unforgettable dinners. And anyway, Angelina's gone. And I got a fistful of Groupons to it, too. Figures. You want to go way back with me to downtown Carson City restaurants? Okay, old-timers. This is for the old-time. In the 1970s and early 80s, I used to go to the old Bonanza Steakhouse restaurant on North Carson Street. And close to that was the Guitar restaurant, great Latin American slash Mexican food. We had Doug's West Indies on North Carson, one of the best Polynesian restaurants. Oh, my gosh, what happened to Polynesian restaurants with their tiki bars? That was a thing. Now we don't have any. There was Enrico's on North Carson. Yeah, another lost Italian place. And for Chinese in Carson City, we have the Golden Dragon. It was next to Valley Chevrolet. And on Telegraph Street, there was Heiss's Steak and Seafood House. And further out, the amazing Thurman's Ranch House. That was on Highway 50. That was a place for wonderful Basque dinners. And further up north, about halfway to Reno, there was Hagel's Midway Inn in Washoe City. The absolute best prime rib. So many good times. But in that area, you know, we still have JT's and the Country Club in Gardnerville for Basque. Kept it the way it's always been. So let's try to keep those places open, folks. But Italian restaurants especially closing up. And I don't get it, you know. First off, I love Italian food, but is there any better environment in a restaurant than a nice Italian, you know, feel? This was in, okay, we'll get into some politics news coming up. And Adam Carolla will be talking with him after we take this break for Fox News. I appreciate y'all tuning in. And again, send me those texts. I get a kick reading them during the breaks here. 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local, back shortly after news on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 1130.
On an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
And so welcome back. John Potter, live and local. Thank you so much for tuning in each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Okay, let's get into these one of these texts here about what we were just talking about. Says, John Potter, this is Troy Morgan, owner of Saltwater Tavern in Carson City. It was really sad to hear of all the restaurants that have closed in Carson, especially the Italian ones. That is great food. Unfortunately, with the street construction on East William Street, my business is struggling and I'm trying to make it through construction and not become another big chicken. Another closed due to street construction that has been going on for almost 1.25 years, 1.25 years. Big chicken closed? I didn't know that. There was a chicken place at Minden at the corner of 395 and 88 that just opened. It is already closed. I think that was a Shack's Chicken. I'm not sure. Anyway, the text goes on. Another closed due to street construction. Big chicken, yes. We do many events to support the community, and I was wondering how I can get invited to share some of the events going on through your show. I learned lots about the Gold Hill Hotel today, and I'd like to share about Saltwater Tavern. Folks, go to Saltwater Tavern and help this friend out. Please let me know how we can do that. Well, I'll tell you what. Oh, Craig, can you do... I'll have you... I'm going to write back to this guy, and I will arrange it. Thank you, Troy, for the text. Let's go to the phone. Adam Carolla is on the phone. Oh, my friend. Thank you for calling. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
All right, my friend. Comedian, actor, political commentator, TV show host of Love Line, The Man Show. Adam Carolla is coming to perform at the Carson City Nugget. What are your dates there, Adam?
I think it's this coming Saturday, a week from today.
That is correct.
Next Saturday, okay. Okay, awesome. The shows are usually 6 and 8. So
That's it.
Yeah, so folks, get your tickets. Just Google search Carson City Nugget and get your tickets on their website. Here's my first question. Your experience on the Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump, please tell us what that was like and your experience with our president.
My experience with him is he was always in a rush. He would show up, you know, just get into it and hustle off to his next appointment. He was like, you know, pretty firm but fair. I got kind of screwed over a little bit in my task that I had to do, but it was an interesting experience. And he, you know, he was, again, he was tough, but he was sort of fair about it. And I was really mostly impressed by his kids. They really were sharp and on top of it. And at the end of the day, I remember saying, you know, I don't like Trump that much. He wasn't, you know, fun and happy and that kind of stuff. But his kids really respect him and are really well put together. And I was like, if a guy's kids really like their dad and are really and turn out to be good human beings, that guy must have done something right. Because to me, if you have a dad and, you know, he has a son and he hasn't spoke to him in 14 years or something, something's wrong with that guy. That guy did something wrong. Mm-hmm. And I it's a kind of a universal yardstick I kind of measure people by.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to a woman,
right,
especially, and you go, tell me about your dad, and they go, he's a great guy, man. That guy works hard, takes care of business, love him to death. I go, okay, A, that woman's going to be normal, and B, that guy must be a good guy. And that's kind of how I measure it.
Well, you're the second person to say that. I do remember when he was running, I think, for his first term, and the debate, I think, with Hillary Clinton, and the moderator said, okay, you two, say one nice thing about each other. And she said, well, he's a great father. Look at his kids. And that does give a good insight into who the person was. Now, you got fired on Celebrity Apprentice because, it says here, you did not utilize teammate Mario Andretti's car background during a Buick presentation. Adam, why didn't you utilize Mario Andretti's car during the Buick presentation?
Well, that's got a couple layers to it, but you'll probably understand why I got screwed. They hit the team. They go, who's going to be the team leader? This is going to be a car-related presentation. So I had Andretti, who's mm-hmm. synonymous with cars, on our team. So everyone looked at Andretti, and he went, no, I don't want to do it. And they said, what do you mean? It's a car-related thing, and you're the team. You need to be the team captain on this project. And he said, no. And so they went, you got to pick a leader. So basically, I was the second guy who knew the most about cars in that group. And I said, okay, then I'll do it. Now, everybody then basically punished me for being the team leader when we had a guy synonymous with cars on our team. But I didn't know what to do because he declined to do it. And we had to pick a team leader. And I knew the second most about cars. Now, what we didn't find out until later is that because he's in motorsports, they have sponsors up the wazoo. And his sponsor at the time was, you know, Chevy or Ford or something like that. And yeah. they wouldn't have been happy if he was selling a Buick. So we didn't know why he declined, but that's why he declined.
Well, you got ripped off.
Yes. And then when they were describing the challenge, the guy kept saying, you have to do a Steve Jobs type presentation. And I kept saying to the team, let's have you do this and let's have you do that. And Penn Jillette kept saying to me, didn't you hear what the guy said? Steve Jobs presentation. I said, what's a Steve Jobs presentation? He said, you go up there alone and you sell this product, because that's what the guy said. And I said, okay. Yeah, and I went up there alone and I sold the product and I did a great job, but then I got penalized for not using enough of the team.
There you go.
So that's on that.
I remember your great segments on the O'Reilly Factor, the Rollin' with Corolla. I just saw a new O'Reilly program, something called something like the Decline of San Francisco or something like that on News Nation. He's still working it. Were they good times with you on the O'Reilly Factor?
Yeah, O'Reilly's a talented guy, and I had fun with him. I still do.
Yeah, he's still working. Okay, true story. You did not receive your high school diploma. It was held by the school because you owed a library fine. Is that right?
Yes. That's
did
true.
You pay it off?
It was more than a library fine. I owned for the entire cost of a book, and that book was almost $20 in 1982 dollars. And I didn't have the money.
Your diploma, though. This takes me back to when schools held the hard line. It's almost refreshing to hear about that.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I graduated high school. I just never received a diploma. But it's not like you need to show the diploma to people. They just want to know if you graduated high school. And I also wasn't doing anything that required a diploma. I walked on a construction site, I dug ditches, and I became a carpenter. Yeah. And later I became a boxing coach. I didn't what I needed a diploma for.
I think our audience would be interested in this. You filmed No Safe Spaces, a documentary about political correctness at universities. What made you address that issue, Adam?
The producers came up with this idea, and then they recruited Dennis Prager and myself. And they said, I think this is a problem and I think it should be addressed. And this is several years ago. We're a little bit ahead of our time, but we said, yeah, I agree. So I volunteered to get involved with the project.
And your book, you've written several books. This one's called I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, Navigating Our Woke, No Joke Culture, which is basically about destroying free speech and killing comedy. Were you a victim of that yourself?
I never look at myself as a victim. I would say some of my stances on things, certainly about something like COVID, for instance, have not made me a darling on the Hollywood scene. And I'm a victim in the sense that, you know, when I make a documentary, it's not welcome into Sundance, and my phone doesn't ring very often to go do roles for Disney. But I made my own way. So I write my own books, and I make my own docs, and I do my own stand-up, and I do my own podcast. So I don't really need the system.
I still see that system. I mean, Bill Maher hasn't won an Emmy ever, and it's ridiculous. You also agreed to appear at the renamed Donald Trump and John F. Kennedy Memorial Center for the Arts after many other performers canceled their appearances because of Trump's name on the facility. So do I take it you're still a supporter? And did this ever happen that you did appear at the now no longer Donald Trump Memorial Center for the Arts?
Yes, but that wasn't an endorsement for Trump. That's because I wanted money. So let's not get it twisted. That calendar, that was on the calendar months and months in advance. I went down there. I did 2 sold out shows. The audience was great. I got paid, and I went home.
So I've seen your show. It was like 20 years ago, I think, in Las Vegas. I think it was at the House of Blues or someplace. It was outstanding. I loved it. What are you going to do on the stage at the Carson City Nugget next Saturday? What's your show all about, Adam Carolla?
It is a straight one-hour stand-up show. It's observations and jokes and thoughts. It's not political by nature. It doesn't have much of an agenda other than sort of common sense, but lots of jokes. It's not preachy. There's no slideshow. It's just traditional, straightforward stand-up.
Awesome. Funny stuff, folks. Get your tickets at the Carson City Nugget website. And Adam, thank you so much for calling in. Anything else you want to add, my friend?
If anyone's listening wants to know if I'm coming to a town near them, and I probably am, or they want any information, just go to adamcarolla.com.
All right, Adam. And your concert date is on there, isn't it, on your website?
Oh, yeah, there should. Yeah, you go to adamcarolla.com and hit live dates, you'll see where I'm going to be.
All right, my friend. It should be a great show. Thank you so much for taking the time on this radio program. Have a great time in Carson City.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Adam. I'm John Potter, live and local. One more segment up next. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:47.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
What did you folks think about, and we had the story on our nude news this week. What did you folks think about Jersey Mike's unseating Chick-fil-A as America's favorite fast food chain? USA Today, I'm reading it here. For the first time in more than a decade, Chick-fil-A is no longer the top-rated quick service restaurant, according to the American Customer Satisfaction Index. Over 16,400 survey respondents knocked the chicken chain from its coveted spot in favor of sandwich shop Jersey Mike's, which was commended for its freshness, food variety, and value. I have not tried Jersey Mike's, but I noticed they're like Starbucks used to be. They're popping up everywhere. I just saw a new one. I think it was it at Reno Public Market outside? I don't remember. I haven't tried them. Chick-fil-A, I am not a huge fan, but my friends love it. I like the service. I love the spirit, but I'm not the biggest fan of Chick-fil-A food. I'm sorry, I don't like waffle fries. I think that they will never top the French fry, okay? And maybe it's the same way at the other ones, but the Chick-fil-A in my hometown, which recently I've been going back and forth to see some old friends there, that Chick-fil-A has a Bible on display in a corner, and you can go in and highlight a verse that touches your heart. You walk over there, and they have the Bible propped up, and it'll be open to a page where somebody will have colored in some verse that they especially like, and it is interesting to go over there and check and see what verses are highlighted. Anyway, like many of you, my very first job was in fast food when I was in junior high. Not high school, junior high. I was like 15. Still a little bit of child labor going on in the early 1970s. No, actually, I think it was 1968, maybe. Anyway, there was a fast food burger chain out in the Northeast before we got a McDonald's. In upstate New York, it was Carol's. And we also had Burger Queen, not Burger King. There was a chain called Burger Queen. I don't know which one came first, but the Queen did not last. And we had Hardee's and something called the Red Barn. The Red Barn was a typical fast food chain. It was nationwide. I don't think it really made it out west. You know, you folks here, I came here in 78, but you folks here had Arctic Circle. We never had that in the Northeast. But the Red Barns, their buildings resembled a big Red Barn. And instead of the Big Mac and the Quarter Pounder, the Red Barn had the Big Barney and the Barn Buster. And they served a fried chicken in buckets. All right, so it wasn't the most original fast food chain. But there I was at the counter with my voice starting to break, as it does when you're 15. Would you like the Big Barney? Or a Barn Buster? I obviously sucked, but it was a good experience. Well, this Red Barn had a manager, and me and five other kids working there. I was a freaking idiot, kind of like I am now. And yet they made me assistant manager. And I, of course, thought, well, my gosh, this is a reflection of my natural leadership of, capabilities. I've been selected to be the assistant manager of this operation. That's what I thought going in very quickly. And then I learned that when you're the assistant manager and on salary, you can work lots and lots of hours, extra hours every week, and still get a very small paycheck. So management at that level was not really the perk that I thought. But anyway, point being is I got the job. And for the whole summer, I worked there at the Red Barn every day, including Sundays. And the deal was that if there were leftover chicken and fries, you could eat them. And I think you were allowed one meal per day that you could actually cook for yourself, which usually was during the lull in the afternoon between lunch and dinner. And I would have my one free meal of the day, my Big Barney. I love the Big Barney. That was the copy of the Big Mac. And then at the end of the day, there'd be X amount of chicken and fries left, and me and the other guys, we would divvy that up, the other employees and myself. And I would walk across town to my house with a half a bucket of chicken under my arm. And you know, after a while of getting this, it became possibly too much of a good thing, right? So after a while, I was like, man, I honestly cannot eat another bite of this Red Barn fried chicken. These secret herbs and spices are just, you know, I've had my fill for a while. Until the next day, when I'd be hungry again, and literally for several months it was like this. Other than dinner at my house, I did not eat anything but that Red Barn chicken. And you know how sometimes you eat a lot of stuff and your taste for it goes away? I would go for it right now, 100%. Not so much for Kentucky Fried Chicken. I don't know what the heck happened to Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's, I don't even know sometimes if it's chicken. The KFC chickies must be from the smaller chickens, too. Those chickens are from the smaller chicken side of the planet, I believe. And prices now for fast food, that is hitting a lot of people harder than it's hitting me. And I do have empathy and sympathy for those people. God bless them. But, you know, you and I at the table, we, you know, now make the dollar stretch for sure with these prices. I have no idea where I was going with that discussion.
Well, I have one more place to add. It's relatively what? New to Carson City, and I do it every day that I go get gas at Costco. Guthrie's.
Guthrie's?
Guthrie's. What is that? I had never heard of them before, but, yeah, they're right there on Old Clear Creek Road by the mobile RV park. And but, yeah, they've it's excellent food.
What kind of food?
It's all chicken. They're a direct competitor with, I think, Chick-fil-A.
Man, chicken's everywhere. Everywhere!
Everywhere.
All right, Guthrie's. Raising Cane's, if I had to pick a favorite, I think they do a nice, juicy chicken. I gotta go. John Potter, live and local. Talk to you next Saturday, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Thank you, Craig.